Amen. Thank you, Donna. Really appreciate the tone for worship that is set. Hey, look around somebody, give them a wave and say, hey, good morning. Everybody say that. Good morning. We're glad you're here. Oh, well, y'all didn't say that part. I said good morning, and I said, say glad you're here. And some of y'all look like, one more time. I'm glad you're here. You didn't put the little stutter in at that time either. I'm glad you're here. Okay, anyway, we're glad that you're here with us today to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're part of our online audience, be sure to greet one another as well. There are live people out there on that screen on the other end, and don't just hide from each other. Be sure to say hello as you go forward, and we look forward to today. The wind is not blowing as bad as it was the last several days, and it's a beautiful day. The sun's out. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our time today. Father, as we come to you, again, we thank you and praise you for the opportunity that you give us to come together. Now, Lord, today, as we have come into your house, I pray that it won't be just something that we have done habitually for years and years and years, but, Lord, that we have walked through these doors today seeking you. Father, I pray that as your Holy Spirit already has been working on our heart, that we would make our hearts and our minds clear and ready to meet you in your word. Lord, to meet you in all of our acts of worship that we will endeavor here today. And Lord, may they truly be an act of worship from our hearts straight into your presence. So we ask, Lord, that you would bless us, that your Holy Spirit would move freely in this place today, and that you would draw us closer to you. We ask, Father, that you would convict those who don't know you, that today might be the day of salvation for them and the beginning of eternal life with our Master. So, Lord, today we can't do anything without you. So we ask that you show up in this place, that you show up in our hearts in a special way, and that you would speak to each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth today is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you. Please stand with me as we sing 447, Trust and Obey. Please stand with me to Worthy of Worship, number 3.
Think about those verses that we just sang. You are worthy, worthy of honor and praise, creator, sustainer, all those things. As we have come together today to worship our Father. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Amos, chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. That's one of those books that's kind of hidden fairly deep into the Old Testament. And you have to remember that back in the Old Testament days, worship was a little bit different than it was during the time of the New Testament days. There was a lot of that thing called law that was taking place, and they were following what it was that God wanted them to do. Now, as I thought about these particular passages, and I thought about them in the context of the ones we're going to look at today, it dawned on me what it was that God was really trying to say to the people in that particular day. You know, what happens is often we will find ourselves up against certain things, and we might be walking with the Lord in every regard that we possibly can, but then we will hit a roadblock in our lives where all of a sudden we don't want to be the godly person that God wants us to be, and we've all been there. Yeah, it's really prominent when it comes down to things like forgiveness. When somebody has wronged you or when somebody has done something, and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit tells us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. Now, we know what that means, don't we? We know what we've been forgiven of, but yet we don't want to grant that forgiveness. And at times we feel like we have the right to hold on to the ought against our brother or to the thing against our brother, whatever that may be, because we feel like we're justified in doing that. And then what happens is we get to the point where we are flat out disobedient to what it is that God has called us to do. Over my time as a pastor, I have sat with folks before and said, look, you're not going to like what I'm getting ready to tell you, but what I'm getting ready to tell you is the biblical premise of what God is telling you in regard to these circumstances and situations. Because the Word says, and let's just take our forgiveness illustration, the Word says you are to forgive that person. And I've had people over my tenure as a pastor say, I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do that. That's dangerous territory, isn't it? And I'm like, look, hey, nobody can force you to do that. But I will tell you that if you want to walk in the ways of the Lord, if you want to be a pleasing child in His sight, then these are the things that you will need to do. And it's not according to Roy. It's according to what the Word says. Now, what happens is oftentimes we can find ourselves getting in a rut. That's easy to do, isn't it? We become automatic with things. And today, the scriptures that we're going to look at kind of carry us into that situation. I want you to imagine what a worship service looked like back here in the book of Amos. We're talking about an Old Testament type worship service, and we know that through study and through what we read in the Bible, the significance of the things that would take place during the times of worship. There was the time that sacrifices had to be offered. If you remember, we don't do that today because we don't have to. We have the perfect once for one and all sacrifice through Jesus Christ. But back during Amos' day, this was before Christ was born, crucified, and resurrected, okay? So there was a different plan. It was following that law. Now, have you ever gotten to the point where you've followed something so much that it's almost automatic? How many of you have ever done that before? It just becomes automatic to you. I've always liked to say this before. There's times when you're driving somewhere and you drive it all the time. And then one day, you know, for some reason, you look over to the right and you're like, when did they build that Wendy's there? And then the person in the car says, about 6 years ago. Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, you've just been on you've had that not really focus. You've had that autopilot that was going on, that autopilot that was taking place. And then essentially what happened is you miss a lot of things that are around you. Now, you've heard me for a long time talk about what does true worship really look like? You know, as the Lord walked in today, notice I didn't say if the Lord walked in. I said as the Lord walked in today, and as he has observed what is taking place in Central Baptist Church, would he be pleased with you personally when it comes down to your worship today? You see, because worship is a one-on-one thing. The really cool part is when you get a bunch of people together who are worshiping the Father one-on-one and you're doing that corporately, it's contagious. It's pretty neat. So I want you to think about some things that were taking place. What is it that God really desires of his children? What is it that he really desires of worship? Look with me, if you would, at Amos chapter 5. And we're going to deal with just a handful of verses today. Now, I want you to imagine, remember, this is an Old Testament style worship service that God is observing. And look with me, if you would, Amos chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. And here is what the Lord says to them. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offering. Verse 23, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we ask that your word would spring forth power and hope within our lives. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, we would evaluate our corporate worship, Lord, our individual worship today, that it might truly be a sweet savor to you. Lord, if it's not, I pray that you would help us, that you would bring us into to keeping your word and to keeping your way. So, Lord, right now, speak to our hearts in these few moments that we have together as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, when we look at this, now, how would you like for God to tell you that? Man, all of a sudden, you're in the worship service. Like I said, when God showed up today, I mean, what would you think if as you came in, you're like, hey, God, what do you think of our worship service today? And he said, I hate it. I despise it. How about I don't savor your sacred assemblies? He said, I don't like what you're doing. Now, you got to remember something. They were doing things based on in accordance with what the law said of that day. So there would be a lot of people say, well, what are we doing wrong? We're doing it just like it is prescribed, just like you told us that things should be done. And God said, essentially, and I'm paraphrasing here, the problem is you're going through this stuff automated or automatic. It's not coming from here. You've just gathered and you sang a few songs. Yeah, what is different about worship than it is every day of your life? What is different about that time of coming together? So on the outward appearance, what would the observation be? The people were engaging in organized worship. They were offering sacrifices and they were observing the religious festivals just as the law said that they should. So you'd sit back and say, what's the problem with that? There wasn't at that particular point with what they were doing. See, they were outwardly religious and they were performing the prescribed rituals, but their hearts and actions did not align with God's will. And that is where the problem came in. You know, you can come in and you can sing, you are worthy, worthy of honor. You are worthy of praise. But did that come from your lips or did it come from your heart? When you lifted your voice to the Father today, did you do that because Brad said it was time to sing? Or did you do that with a deep sense of, Lord, I am lifting up my voice and making a joyful noise. In my case, it is a joyful noise unto the Lord. Did those words that were coming out of your mouth really come through your heart? Did they touch your brain to the point, or was it just automatic? Let me give you a little pop quiz. I don't want you to look at your bulletin or anything else, but what was the first song we sang when we were here today? That's good. It was Trust and Obey. But you know, but have you ever thought about it? If you sang it with heart and it meant something to you, you would recall it pretty quick, wouldn't you? And some of you recalled it because you were like, oh, that's one of the old greats. One of the ones that we've sang since we were children growing up. And you know what? That's okay. But the thing about it was, did you sing it with heart? I want you to picture in heaven, as the Lord was there, as your voice rose up, was it a sweet, sweet savor to him? Or was he sitting there going... What was it he told the people in Amos? He said, basically, y'all make me sick. He said, I hate what you're doing. Not what you're doing, but the reason why you're doing it. Not necessarily the reason why, but how they were doing it. Y'all picking up what I'm putting down, right? It wasn't being done with the right heart. That was the problem. See, true worship does not consist of following religious customs. It doesn't consist of simply following traditions, but rather a genuine obedience and righteousness to the Father. That is what he's looking for in worship. So there was a call for justice and righteousness. Look with me, if you would, at verse 23. You know, we saw 21 and 22 was what the problem was. I mean, literally, could you imagine God telling you, verse 21, I despise your feast days? That'd be like him saying, you know what, I can't stand your worship services. I mean, what would that make you think? I mean, would it really make you stop if he said, you know what, I don't like your worship, and I don't savor your sacred assemblies? In other words, you're coming together. But then he goes on and he tells them why. He says in verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. Those are strong words, aren't they? I'm not going to accept that. And he said, nor will I regard your fattened peace offering. He says, that's not, you know, no. Why was it that God was saying, I am not going to accept that? Because he understood that it was being done habitually. He understood that it was not being done in the right heart. He understood it was not being done in the right spirit. Think about it for a moment. How many times have people judged Christian people? And you, every one of you have heard this when somebody says, well, I'll tell you one thing. Yeah, that's not the way a Christian acts or reacts. That's not the way a Christian should, work in life, as it were. See, other people around you know if you're a Christian. You know, a lot of times we will tout, hey, I'm a Christian person. But then what they do is they don't see our lives match that. They see whether it's bad or dirty business deals. They see a lack of forgiveness. They see a hatred towards people. They see a cutting off of those folks. And they sit back and say, that's not what the Bible says a Christian person ought to do, the way they ought to function or what they ought to look like. And they're right. Yeah, I've said this so many times that even people who aren't believers know how believers should live their lives. They know what the Word of God says. So how are we representing the Master today? Whether it's one, whether it's 10, whether it's 100, whether it's thousands, when we come together to worship, it should be to meet God, not because this is what Mama always taught me to do. When you came in today, did you truly come in saying, Lord, I'm going to meet you in this place today, and I'm going to hear a word from you, and it's going to be applicable to my life where I am? It might not be from the preacher. It may have been in one of the songs that we just sang. It could be from the scripture. It could be from one of your fellow brothers and sisters that gives you a word of encouragement or a word from the Lord today. But did you come in seeking God today? When you lifted up your voice and you said, you are worthy, worthy of honor and praise, was that a prayer or just a song? You understand what I'm saying? We don't need filler. We don't just sing the songs that we sing in worship just because that's what we always have done. We do that so we can have an opportunity to come together to prepare our hearts and to prepare our minds to meet the Lord in this place. Because let me tell you this, whether you know it or not, God showed up here today. Whether you know it or not, He holds me accountable for every word that comes out of this pulpit. But He also holds you accountable for every word that comes out of this pulpit. What will you do with it? What will the Holy Spirit say to your life through the Word? Listen, the Word does not return void, and it is for you today. There is no accident that this assembly is here today. There is no accident that you were here. There is no accident that even those that are watching online are hearing these words today. Not one single bit. Notice what he said, verse 22, though you offer me burnt offerings, that was part of the law, they were supposed to do that, and your grain offerings, part of the law, that's what you're supposed to do, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offering. Yet still, what was being ordered to be done? The argument might be made that people would say, well, we're doing what the law told us to do. We're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And God said, yeah, but you're doing it with the wrong heart. I'm more concerned about your heart. Because if you get your heart in the right way, your actions will follow that. See, there was another place in the Bible, if you remember, where the Lord was talking about those in a worship service who came together that were offering sacrifices. And remember what he said? God said to him, I'm not going to accept that. He said, you need to leave your sacrifice at the altar. You need to go make some things right with your brothers and then come back and present the sacrifice. You know why he said that? He said, because I know that things are not right in your life. I know that you're holding on against your brother. That's a no-no. I know what your heart is. I know what your selfish desires are. And listen, if you surrendered to me, you need to want what I want. You know what gets us in trouble in this day and age? Selfishness. You know what part of the problem is? Part of the problem is we don't recognize the selfishness. We recognize it in others, but we have a hard time recognizing it in ourselves, don't we? And folks, let me tell you something. You might not think you're selfish, but if you sat down and did a real evaluation, you would find that you are. Because every one of us are. God, I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. I like my way better than your way. You know what the problem with that is? Your way is going to crash and burn. God's will not. Lord, I think I have a right, Lord, to hold aught against a brother. He said, no, you don't. You're to forgive as you've been forgiven. And by the way, you've been forgiven a lot. Tell you what, people would run out of this place if the Lord stood up today and started calling out names and started calling out things that you've been forgiven of. All of us would be like the passage. Remember when they were going to stone the lady taken in adultery? You know, it is believed that when Jesus wrote on the ground, again, this is what we believe. This is not, you know, context, biblical context. It says he stooped and he wrote on the ground. It is believed by scholars that he was writing the sins of the others around them, basically showing them, you have no right to stand in judgment over this woman. And yet, that's what we do. At times we act self-righteous. We act holier than thou. And we sit back and go, well, I just can't believe what so-and-so's done. But yet we don't spend the time looking at ourselves. I was like what a teacher told me. He said, when I was younger, he said, just remember, if you point a finger, there's three pointing back at you. And I'm going to give you the Roy rendition of something that the Lord teaches us in Matthew chapter 7, okay, and that's simply this. If we spend the time cleaning up our own backyard, we won't have time to clean up somebody else's. We'll be busy till the day we die taking care of our own. And yet what they were doing is they were coming into worship services and they were going through the motions automatic. Well, this is what we do. Well, we came in today. Roy's going to do a greeting and a prayer. Brad's going to sing a congregational song that we'll stand up for. And then when that's over with, he's going to have us sit down. The choir's going to sing a number. When it gets to the last verse, he's going to turn and give them the nod so they can come out of the choir loft. And while they make their way down, and then when he gets done, you know, with that, we know how it is. It's automatic, isn't it? If we change that up, some of y'all would go crazy. Y'all are like, oh, that ain't the way we worship. Listen, have you gotten in touch with God today? That is the key. That should be why you're here. You should be saying, Lord, speak to me through your word. I don't want to come in to Central Baptist Church today and you tell me that basically my worship makes you sick. I don't want to come in to Central Baptist today and hear you say that I'm not going to accept the offering to you. I'm not going to accept your prayers. I'm not going to accept the things that you have come to offer today. Because you're doing them with the wrong heart. You see, that's what he was trying to get across to them in Amos. Notice what he said in verse 23. Words we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear this. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Noise. Did the Lord really just call their hymns noise? Whether you're looking at the screen or whether you're looking at the Bible, it says, take away from me the noise of your song. Now, I want to carry you back to the love chapter. Chapter 13, Corinthians, remember that? And he says, yeah, all these things. He said, love is patient, love is kind. He gives this whole list of things. And he says, but if I don't have love, all of these are just noise. I have become as a clanging cymbal. I have become noisy. How many of y'all like noise? You know what? It's interesting. Not a single hand went up. How do you like going to a restaurant where it's so noisy that you can't even hear yourself talking to the person beside you? That sounds like fun, doesn't it? No. Yeah, you kind of like, yeah, quiet's kind of good, isn't it? You know, where you can at least function together. You know what God said? God was basically telling these people, your worship is like a bunch of white noise to me. And how many times in a noisy environment have you gone, you don't want to hear it. So I'm asking you, I'm giving you a challenge today. Is your worship noisy in the presence of the Father? Verse 23, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. Well, God said, I don't want to hear that. The reason I don't want to hear it is because your heart's in the right place. You are basically hypocritically worshiping today. If you've come in with a heart that says, you know what, God, I know what you're telling me and I don't care, but I'm going to come in here and put on this facade of worship, God's saying, I don't honor that. He's saying, if you want to hold on to aught against your brother, I'm not going to honor your worship. If you're going to bring a sacrifice in here and lay it at the altar, then you need to leave it at the altar because I'm not going to take it until you make it right. And he says, if you come in here with selfish attitudes, then you're not surrendered to me. And if you're not surrendered to me, I'm not going to use you. Take away from me the noise of your songs. He's like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the melody of your stringed instruments. You know, you might have played it the best you ever have, but if you played it with the wrong heart, God says it means nothing to me. It means nothing to me. They're pretty strong words, aren't they? You see, God rejects the people's religious observances and he calls for justice and righteousness instead. See, the people were neglecting the weightier matters of the law when it came to their worship, which included justice, which included righteousness. You see, God desires for his people to actively seek justice and righteousness rather than just going through the religious motions. See, that's part of one of the things, and this is me personally. We all have different personalities and whatnot. I do not like a liturgical service. Do you know, y'all know what I'm saying when I say liturgical? That's one in 50 cent words. You know, in other words, some of our Catholic brothers, and I've been there before, and I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not even saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying it's not a preference of mine to go in and just repeat something over and over and over and over again just because I have it committed to memory and just because we do that on Sundays. Don't get me wrong with this one either. I love the Lord's Prayer. And a lot of times people will say the Lord's Prayer. It's a step in the right direction. But God said this. Here's a model prayer. Take this model and make it personal. You know what? If I recite the Lord's Prayer, I am reading a passage of Scripture. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not Roy's prayer. That's not what that means. God doesn't want us to just be cookie cutter Christians. Your life is different than mine. God's done cool and incredible things in my life, but he's done them in yours as well. And it hasn't all been the same. You know, we don't want to just go through religious motion. You know what happens? We get trapped in this thing called traditionalism. Why are we doing that? Because we always have. Why do we do it this way? Because we always have. Does that make it right? It doesn't necessarily make it wrong, but it can also get you stuck in a rut. Remember my illustration earlier? How many times have you driven a road several times a day only to realize the Wendy's had been built for 6 years? See, what happens is too often we can miss in the periphery of the journey what it is that God really, really wants to do. And sometimes God wants us to deviate. Sometimes he wants us to make a right-hand turn. And I love it because I even know some of y'all in here. If we were going on a trip and we were going somewhere and I was riding as a passenger with you and you were driving and we got a couple of states over and I said, hey, look, yeah, I've been here before and I know your GPS says to go straight, but I want you to turn right up here. For some of y'all, that's not going to go over well. Well, the GPS says we need to go straight. Yeah, I know what the GPS says. But I've been here before, and we can cut a half hour off our trip if we make a right-hand turn. Now, do you realize I just qualified my whole statement? I've been here before. I've done this before. Some of y'all wouldn't turn right. So, but see, some of you would make an excuse. You'd be like, oh, look, a deer. Oh, I missed a turn. We'll just go on straight. Some of y'all would make the right turn, but you'd lose your cotton picking mind. Your blood pressure would go up and it would be awful for the rest of that trip. And see, sometimes that's what God wants us to do. Sometimes he shakes things up. Sometimes he changes the journey and he wants us to follow him. But first and foremost, what he wants us to be are the type of children he wants us to be. And when we ask ourselves, what does it mean? He looked at this church and he said, look, man, you guys basically make me sick. He said, I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want any of that stuff because you're not doing things with the right heart. You're doing the right things. You're doing them the right way, but you're not doing it with the right heart. It's kind of like that old expression. It's not a biblical thing, but everybody says, well, you know, everybody loves a cheerful giver. Well, let me tell you this. There's been some times that you've given and you didn't give out of a cheerful heart. You gave out of a begrudging heart. Oh, you might have done the right thing, but your heart wasn't right in the process of doing it. You know what God wants more than anything? He wants your heart to be in the right place because everything else can take its place after that. He wants us to be the type of people that when people look at them, they say, that person emulates the Savior. That person is the personification of what would Jesus do? How would Jesus act? How would he react in these type situations? When the whole world would turn their back on certain people, God's people probably should not, as the Lord directs. But you see, here was the problem. There was consequences. There's consequences for everything. Look down at verse 24. Verse 24 says, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. You see, the people's failure to do justice and righteousness leads to God's rejection of their offering and lack of delight in their worship. If you had to answer this question today, how would you answer it? Don't answer it out loud. Is God delighted in your worship today? Now, don't answer me. That's a you and the Holy Spirit thing. But what would God say to you personally? Don't worry about everybody else. See, we like to compare ourselves to everybody else. Well, I tell you one thing, I'm not having a really good day, but look at David. You know, I'm going to compare myself to him because, man, compared to him, I'm doing great. Well, we're not supposed to compare ourselves this way. We're supposed to compare ourselves that way. And I'm asking you today, God's sitting right beside you. He's got his arm around you. He's looking at you. And he's saying this. He's saying, answer the boy's question. What do you think, I think, of your worship today? Did you come in with the right heart? Did you come in seeking the Father? Did you come in with your heart prepared to meet him here? Did you come in looking for and seeking him? Or did you just come in because it's Sunday? Did you just come in for some other reason other than to meet God in this place? Because you know what happens? If that's the case, you know what the Lord says? The Lord's going to look at you and say, your worship stinks. And I don't receive it. And here's the thing. Nobody else in this room will ever know about that except you and God. But I will tell you that it makes a difference because we all need each other. God rejected their offering and he was not delighted in their worship, even though they were doing it right. You see, God demands obedience and God demands righteousness. He doesn't just suggest it, he demands it. He demands obedience. He demands righteousness for his people, and failure to comply does result in consequences. I don't know, for some odd reason, we live in a generation that believes that there are no consequences for what you do. And then when all of a sudden there's consequences, it's like, well, I don't deserve that. Man, I'll tell you, most of y'all grew up, some of you before my generation, but during my generation, there's consequences to things. Oh, I dropped that down a well. What are you doing? I'm going after it. I don't think I would go down in a well for a 19¾-cent Bic lighter. Oh, that was a new Bic. Oh, well, go ahead then. I mean, engage your brain. There are consequences for what you do. Most of us know that because most of us have suffered the consequences. See, God takes sin seriously and He expects us to actively pursue justice and righteousness in our lives. He doesn't deal with sin. He's like, no, no, no. We've got to get that out. Remember what He said in our illustration, the biblical illustration before, that when people came into worship, they brought in the sacrifices. I'm sure they had tears in their eyes. I'm sure that they were genuine in what they wanted to do. And God said, nope, not until me and you get some things right. And me and you aren't going to have things right until you and Him get some things right. We don't like to hear that, do we? All right, God, there you go meddling in my life again. God's like, no, no, it's my life. You gave it to me. See, God desires genuine worship. He desires obedience, which includes seeking justice and living righteously. Neglecting these essential elements of faith will only result in His rejection and disapproval. And we wonder today why there are churches all across the world that there's nothing going on. Because the Lord has said, you got some stuff, you've got to get squared away. You have got to be right in your personal worship before you can ever be right in your corporate worship. And He says, you know what, you might be having services, you might be doing all these things, but I'm not pleased with it. That's what He was telling them in Amos. So what do we need to do today? We need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our actions to ensure that we're not just going through the religious motions, but yet we're truly seeking justice and righteousness in all the aspects of our lives. And may we prioritize what God truly desires and align our worship and our obedience with His will. You see, when we do that, you will see a difference. We've all seen it. We've all been there before. You've been in services where you were like, wow, man, the Holy Spirit truly moved. And then you've been in some services before in your life when you're like, ain't much going on here. Hey, that don't mean God's left. He's just there, but He's not pleased with what's taking place. It starts on the individual basis. It starts with me. Ask yourself and put it through the filter of this. You need to ask yourself this question. The question you need to ask yourself is God pleased with my worship? Is God pleased with what I'm doing? When I get ready to act against something, you have to say, what would Jesus do? How would He act or react in this situation? Yeah, you know, I love to think about the story of the Good Samaritan when it comes down to that. You know why? Because Jesus gives that illustration of this one who has been beaten by the roadside, and the first two that pass by should have been the ones to help. They would have been the ones most likely to reach out and to help. And yet the third one, the Samaritan who came by, would have been the least likely to have helped that person. And yet which one helped? The Samaritan. Which one was God pleased with? The Samaritan. Why? Because he acted in a manner that was pleasing to the Father, that would be the way that the Father would react. We are, as His children, His agents. That doesn't mean that you agree. We got this thing that when somebody gets taken into, you know, or a fall in a sin, we act like they got the plague. Don't get near them. You know what those people need more than anything in the midst of their fall? They need someone to reach out to them. And we're afraid about what people would say. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you go talk to that guy, they're going to think you're in cahoots with them. Well, you know, let them think whatever they want to think. I'm not worried about what everybody else thinks. I'm more worried about what God thinks.
I can't tell you the number of times I've gone and said, look, man, I know that you're hurting right now. I know that this thing has happened to you. I know that you're beat up, as it were. I'm not here to cast judgment upon you. Yeah, that wasn't the right thing to do, but the bottom line is you're where you are, and I want you to know that I'm here to love you, to pray for you, to help you through this situation. Has it been costly to do that at times? Yes, it has. Have people thought differently of me because I did that? Yes, they have. Do I care? No, I don't. Let me tell you why. Because I believe with all my heart I did exactly what the Father would do. And someday I will stand before Him. And if He tells me I was wrong, I'll be like, well, okay. But I don't think He's going to. I think He's going to say, well done, because this took first place. Not thoughts or feelings or anything else. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it is going to be harder and harder and harder for you and I to follow Jesus in this world today. It is going to become more and more and more costly. So you better get used to it. It's plain and simple. So God walked in today. He's sitting there beside you. You know, legs crossed, arm around the pew. Staring at you. Going. He asked my question. You want to know what I think? What do you think I think of your worship today at Central Baptist Church? You see, that answer may be different for each and every one of us, and I can't answer it. But He's asking you to answer it today. He's saying, oh, He already knows. He already knows. Did you just come in here today to go through the motions, or did you really come in here to meet God today? Did you come in here to learn to grow closer to Him? Did you come in here today to put down your selfish feelings and pick up His orders, to be obedient to Him? Or are you going to sit back and say, well, God, I'm not going to do that? Well, let me tell you, if you do, that is very, very dangerous territory, because there are consequences for that. Not only will those consequences be towards you, they can be to those around you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, you know, fear you into things. I'm not going to say you're going to like self-destruct or spontaneously combust or anything like that. But God's going to let you know there's consequences for disobedience. And you know what I'm talking about. Listen, if you've been parents, you understand, because you've had to exercise it in the lives of your children, that there are consequences for disobedience, right? I was not the timeout generation. For me, my generation, timeout was how long it took you to come to after you had got done dealing with mom and dad. That was our timeout. Board of Education, seat of learning. Whatever it is, there was punishment that goes along with that. Sometimes you bring those consequences on yourself. But what did God say today to you? What is your answer to Him? We know what His question is. He's sitting there going like this. He's going, answer the question. Not out loud. But God is saying, answer the question. Look at me. What do you think I think of your worship today? What do you think I think of the service today? And by the way, that's personal. You know what God says? God said, we provided opportunities today. But did you hear the Spirit? Did you hear the Spirit? Or are you just saying, will He hurry up because it's getting close to lunch? And believe it or not, I know somebody thought, well, I do wish He would hurry up, and lunch is important, but I get what He's saying. What are you going to say to Him? I think for me, the big tragedy would be for the Lord to say, I want nothing y'all are offering today, because you're not doing it with the right heart.
He keeps showing up and showing up, and he's waiting on us to make it personal. When we make it personal, everything changes. When we give up our ways for his ways, everything changes. You don't have to come up with, you know, a 50-point plan. God will change it. You will see things you've never seen before, and we've experienced that, haven't we? Do you know why? Because we had it right with him personally, which made us have it right with him corporately. And we were doing things for all the right reasons. And the Lord said, I like it. I'll bless it. Not just a bunch of people functioning. He's like, come on. Brad, I'm going to ask you guys to take your place. Come on up as we prepare for our time of invitation. It's a big question to answer. First of all, the biggest question to answer is, have you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? That is huge. That is the biggest question you will ever answer in your life. Have you given your life to him? Have you surrendered? Surrendered means you no longer are part of you. You've given it up. You've put both hands up and said, Lord, my life is not my life anymore. It is yours, which means that you go under his control. Lord, I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary, and I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, I want to be one of your children, and I want to act like one of them, and I'm going to need all the help I can get. Is that what he said to you today? If he has, then just simply bow your head where you are and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. Help me live as one of your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I will promise you that if you truly meant that, you started the journey. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. You know, the Lord says, hey, I want you to follow me in believer's baptism as your public profession of faith. Have you ever done that? Listen, it's time to make that right. If not, you need to let me know today. We'll fill that thing up and we'll get it done. And we will celebrate with you. That's the first act of obedience following salvation that the Lord asked us to do as a believer. That is not salvation, but it is an act of obedience. Remember what we were talking about? Righteousness, justice, and obedience. Have you been obedient? Maybe you're here today and you just got a swift kick in the pants. I think all of us get those at times. And you sit back and say, you know what, I've just been going through the motions. I've let politics, I've let people, I've let all these different things come between me and what God has really wanted me to do. And you know, here's the thing. We might have disagreements about things, but that's okay. Can we still function together as family? I'm sure my sister and I have different views on some different things. She's still my sister. I'm still going to love her. And you're our family. Y'all don't agree with everything that I say or that I do, but are we going to let that hinder us? Never once on a mission trip have I asked a person I'm serving with whether they were conservative or moderate. I have asked them if they love Jesus. I have asked them if they're born again. I've not gotten into politics. We're out there serving Jesus together. And it's a beautiful thing. That's what he wants us to do here. I will say, listen, we got to be able to sit back and say, look, you can be wrong all you want to be. If you don't agree with me, you can be wrong all you want to be, but I'm still going to love you. We got this hatred thing going on in society today. I don't get it. For some odd reason, we can't disagree with each other anymore and still love one another. Have y'all noticed that, or is it just me? You know, I disagree. I can disagree with you and still love you. I'd still fight for you. Might not agree with your viewpoint, but I'm still going to love you. Nowadays, it's like, you don't agree with me? Mm-mm. Sometimes we just need a swift kick in the pants. The Lord says, this is my house. You have come in here to worship me. That's where your mind should be. Don't make me sick with your supposed worship or your acts thereof. You know what? You can ask His forgiveness. You can make it right today. You can start a new journey. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. God wants to do some incredible things right here in this place. I believe that, and I'm not just saying that. Maybe you need the altar. It's here. If you need me, I'm here. Whatever it is that God has spoken with you about, make sure you deal with it right this moment. If God said, hey, look, you need to be baptized, you get down here and tell me. There's accountability. If the Lord says, hey, this is where I want you to serve me in this church, you know, I want you to join up, well, then do it. Don't sit there in your seat. Come on down. Let's get her done. If God says, look, you just need to give some things to me at this altar, then do it. Worry about the rest of the world. It's you and God. Remember, He's sitting there with His arm around you going, and you know what He said to you. I don't. How will you deal with it? Would you stand and sing with me our invitation hymn as Brad comes to lead us in number 277, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love, at the impulse of Thy love.
Put on your heart, and you know what you need to do with it, for it, or about it. Make that move right now. Do not hesitate. Make it right with Him. I'm also going to ask this time as we continue our invitation that our ushers would come down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Our Father, we come to You at a time of yet another act of worship. We've talked about whether or not what we're about to do is going to be pleasing to You and whether we're doing what we're about to do for the right reason. And Father, You have commanded us to give to You that Your work may go forward. But Lord, not only that, that You might bless us for our faithfulness and our obedience to return to You the tithe and to offer to You the offering. So right now, Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful in Your sight, that You would work in our heart, and that You would do some things that are so incredible that we just giggle because of the way You showed up as we continue to worship in our giving. So Lord, bless our offering, the gift and the giver, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things. We'll try to get you on out of here. Typical things for a Sunday. My small group, D-Life, meets at 3:30 over in the conference room of the educational building. Choir practice, 4:45 this evening right here. Awana is at 5:30. We've got the Derby next week, isn't it? Next week will be the Derby. And then I'm just going to go ahead and put it in your minds now. The awards is the first Sunday night in May, and then of course that's all the churches usually over there to cheer the kids on as they receive their awards. So that'll be the first Sunday night in May. So don't forget that. We'll remind you as it comes up. 6 o'clock tonight, Bible study right here with Pastor David in the sanctuary, and then there is a seven o'clock band rehearsal after the Bible study today. Tomorrow on Monday we have Steve Kelly's D group. Are they're going to continue on? Okay, yes. Steve's D group, 6:30 tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, as always, the men's breakfast, 10 o'clock a.m. At Colfax, at the Olympic in Colfax. We'll say it that way. And then, of course, every other Tuesday, there's a Bible study at Roger and Don Rees. I know they've had some sickness. Are y'all on this week? Still letting everybody get squared away, but there is a small group Bible study meeting there. If you're interested, you can talk to either Paul or David. They can give you more information on that as they're going through and studying the book of Daniel. We're having what we're calling Rubbish Week around here, which would be the 15th through the 19th of this month. And there will be a dumpster on site. Now, that's not for you to bring all your stuff from home. It's to help us get all the stuff that's just laying around here in the church that we need to get rid of to add space, to make room. So we're going to have the dumpster on site here the 15th through the 19th. Please go through your room. If there are things that could be thrown away in the areas that you are, please, this is your time. Get it out there. Put it in the dumpster. Now, if you're not in charge of that area and there's just something you don't like, don't go in there and just throw it away and then have your teacher going, where'd this go or where'd that go? We'll be answering that question. But then also, that's the 15th through the 19th, but then there is going to be a work day on the 20th of April. It's going to be some light to medium work inside and outside here around the church. So just keep that on your hearts and in your mind. We're gathering potential to see about how many folks would like to go to the Barn Dinner Theater on April the 19th. The cost on that is $64. I didn't quote that. That is just their price. That is actually a group price if we have 20 or more. You notice that things have just gone up, let's put it that way. But that includes a buffet, unlimited coffee, tea, taxes, and tip. The performance is Sing Hallelujah. We need to have 20 people to sign up to get that group rate. There is an interest sheet. Now, by you signing that sheet isn't saying I'm 100% going. It's for us to see if we have about 20 people that would be interested in going. That is in the Narthex. You can sign up on that. Do that as quickly as possible so we'll determine if we have enough folks to be able to go. And then, as always, there's a lot of things that are going on around the church, in and out different rooms. So if you've got something meeting-wise or whatever that you need a room for, please, please let us know so we can reserve the room for you, the time, the date, and everything else, because there's just so many different things that are taking place. We don't want you to show up and then somebody be in the different rooms. Several we have crossovers on, okay? So we don't want to cross over. Also, this week, be sure to, if you're a card sender, if you're a caller, a texter, or whatever, these are our birthdays this week. Tomorrow, Jeff Pickard. Tuesday, our very own Russell Wright sitting back there. You can harass him a little bit. And I think Russell might even take credit cards as well as checks and cash for his birthday. Wednesday, Jamie Edwards has a birthday. And then Friday, Millie Bailiff will be celebrating another turn around the sun. And we got a couple of anniversaries, too. Those up there, we go Monday, Tom and Erica Twitty. And then this coming Saturday, Kay and Mike Harrell. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to pray that Mike and Kay are able to get out of town, have a nice trip away, and I'm going to ask you to pray that Mike won't work on the place if they go to the beach. That's going to be a prayer request. Would that be a good one, Kay? That he just gets a focus on you. How many years is this? 50. This is the big one. This is a big 50. Give him a hand. Kay and Mike, this coming Saturday,
celebrating 50 years together. I was 8 years old when y'all got married. Hey, at least I was born. At least I was born almost double dead. Y'all have a great, great week. And if he's not good, if he starts backing out, you call me and I'll set him down and counsel with him this week. Okay, folks, so good to see you all today. It's great to be able to come together and worship our Lord. Pastor David's going to come up, and he's going to let you know anything that I may have forgotten or anything else along the way, and then he'll dismiss us in a word of prayer.
I was given a note just a few minutes ago. There's going to be a health and safety meeting today, immediately following this service, in the conference room over in the other building. So if you're on that committee, if you'll get involved with that. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. God, we know that there are many times in our lives when we're not lovable, but you love us anyway, Lord, and we just thank you that we have the privilege of coming to your house and worshiping you. Lord, bless us today as we leave this place. Help us to be a positive witness for you everywhere we go. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.